And we're taking up where we left off. We talked about the last days being upon us. We talked about the great harvest of souls. I don't know if you realize it or not. If you listen to people that are in the third world countries, some of the fastest growing places of new births is going on in Muslim lands. Did you know that? Some of the fastest growing places. Fastest church growth in the world right now is going on in Muslim lands. And there are people that are waking up and seeing Jesus, Muslim people, seeing Jesus. And Jesus is speaking to them about changing their ways. Isn't that something? And the whole world is all afraid of this Muslim thing, and God's at work already in the Muslim world. Glory be to God. Amen. And I am sure that we will probably see even more persecution toward the church. And I'm glad for that, because it's going to push out the wimpy Christians. Maybe they're Christians. And it's going to cause all of us to get right back to center again, because our life will depend upon it. Amen. Amen. I'm glad for that. A little persecution, it cleans the church up. Hello, anyone out there? Amen. And I'm not afraid of people like Mr. Obama, and I'm not afraid of all this other stuff that goes on, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. We're in end time days, and there's going to be an end time stance for all of us to take. And it's going to mean looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so never has it been more important to be free from all the junk that's bound us and kept us hindered. Never has it been more important to feed on the Word. Never has it been more important to pray in the Holy Ghost. Never has it been more important to come together and encourage one another. Amen. Provoke one another to love. Amen. Never has it been more important, because we are in the end times. And for us to be a success on this earth, and when I say a success on this earth, I'm not talking about how much money you have or the kind of car you drive or the kind of clothes you have. You know, I'm thankful for nice clothes. I like nice clothes. And you know, I'm driving almost a 20-year-old van. It's a nice van. Yeah. I keep thinking, well, maybe I ought to think about getting another van. Another vehicle, and I think, you know, it's going to be hard to beat this one. Of course, that's what I said about the last one. The only one that's going to be able to beat it is going to be the Lord. Amen. Yeah. And so, you know, every once in a while I think about it, and I thought, oh, just too much trouble. I'm just going to drive my van and praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. There are a lot of things that are more important than that. Amen. Those aren't things that make us a success. The fact that I'm wearing a suit is not making me a success. The only thing that can make me a success is what's on the inside of me. Amen. The Spirit of God, the grace of God, the character of God. I want to give you three verses before we get started. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, that's not talking about a Christian or not Christian. What that's talking about is a mature son. The ones that are mature in the faith are the ones that are hearing the voice of the Lord and being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. What separates us from being immature and spiritual? Well, the issue is being led by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Verse 16, in verse 16, chapter 8 there, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Amen. Praise the Lord. So the central point of all success in our life comes back to hearing the voice of the Lord in our spirit. Amen. And then turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Proverbs 20, 27. And while you're looking there, I think about this quite often. And you've heard me share the story before. It's always been my great joy to get up early. I like getting up early. Part of the reason that I like getting up early is not because I wake up bright and refreshed automatically. I don't. Sometimes it takes me that long to wake up. And I like the fact that I'm alone and I can read and I can pray. And before the sun comes up, I've got a couple of hours. I've got a couple of hours with the Lord. I like that. And it really does get me ready for the day. Well, one particular morning, I think it was about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, I decided I was going to turn on the TV, so I turned on the TV to see who was preaching on the TV, and there was a man that I didn't recognize before. And I'll just tell you who he is. Normally I don't. But his name was Herbert W. Armstrong. Herbert W. Armstrong was real big back in the 70s. Had a big following of people, you know. And I didn't know who he was. All I just knew was he was an old man. He had to be 60 years old. Some of you got it, some of you didn't. He had to be 60 years old. Actually, he was a little older than that. I think he was probably closer to his 70s. And he had a white head, you know, and it looked like a Bible. And so I sat there and I listened for just a few minutes. And when I did, I heard these words. That is Herbert W. Armstrong. When I heard those words, a caption on the TV read, Herbert W. Armstrong. I'll tell you what, God had my full attention then. I mean, every hair on my head was pink. I was listening, boy, I was listening. And he continued to preach just a little bit more. And then I heard, and he's false. Now, I don't like to say that anybody's false. And really, I didn't say it. That's what I heard from the Spirit of the Lord. He's false. I suppose if anybody knows who's false and who's not false, it would be the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen? And I wasn't judging him in any way at all. I didn't know who he was. But when I heard he's false, I just turned it off. I just turned it off. I remember another time when I was at, listen, little Miss Baker, I was at, of all places, Rhema Bible Training Center. And someone came up to me just all excited. He had been reading this book. And he handed me this book. And I kind of looked at it and I touched it. And when I touched it, the Lord said, just tell him no thank you. You've got plenty of books you got to read right now. You want to know why what the Lord was doing? The Lord was protecting me. The Lord was protecting me. See, success in whether we achieve things for the Lord or whether we fall out has a whole lot to do with listening very carefully to the voice of the Spirit. And in listening carefully to the voice of the Spirit, you're going to have to know where he speaks from. You're going to have to pay attention to where center is. And you know what? A lot of Christians don't know where center is. Here's a verse in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. This is God's word to us. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Amen. What it means is God will enlighten us. He will guide us through our spirits. And that gives us a picture. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. The picture is, and this is the real truth, we are living in darkness right now. Now, I'm not talking about the natural light. I'm talking about spiritually. Spiritually, where we are is a dirty, filthy, dark place. I hate it that we bring children into this dirty, dark place. But the truth is, the whole world lies in darkness and wickedness. That's what the scripture says. Yeah. It lies in darkness and wickedness. And so that's why it's all important to train our children up in the way they should go, so that they can learn to follow the light rather than the darkness. Because there are a lot of people out here, they don't know what they're following. They don't have a clue what they're following. I cannot listen to Whitney Houston without getting grieved in my heart. Because there was a dear saint of God that was chewed up by the world. And she didn't know what she was following. And it chewed her up, and not only spit her out, but it spit her little girl out too. I'm sure now, she was a believer, but I don't believe she was following closely after Jesus. Hopefully, by the time she died, she was. Now, the only reason that I share these things, because these aren't lifter-upper kind of things that you share in a... But as pastor, I want you to understand the world we're living in is a dark, dark place. That's why you're here. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. What do we mean when we're talking about that song? We're talking about the Word of God shining from our heart. The love of God shining from our heart. The peace of God shining from our heart. It attracts people. It attracts people to Jesus. Why does it attract people? Because there are people... There are people that want free of their darkness. Now, there are people that love to stay in their darkness. But there are some people out there that want free of their darkness. And who is God going to draw them to? He's going to draw them to the people that are listening closely to the voice of the Lord his God. Amen. He's going to draw them to the people that are diligent followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. So God's going to enlighten us, guide us through our spirits. Now, why is it so important? Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're going to be successful in fulfilling God's plan for your life. You will go to heaven one day if you've accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, but it's quite possible for you to live your entire life and miss out on God's best for your life. It's entirely possible for you to even work in a church and miss God's best for your life. Amen. Amen. It's possible for you to miss out on receiving the blessings of your Heavenly Father, the blessings that He has planned for you. And there's only one way. There's only one way for you to successfully run your race, the race that's set before you. Amen. And to live in the provision that God's planned for you. I got to tell you, one of the sad things about the ministry, did you know that there are a lot of preachers that don't live long on this earth? Did you know that? Pastoring, working for God. Amen. Doing what they say is the Lord's will. It may be the Lord's will. It may not be the Lord's perfect will for them. Brother Hagin said that he was 10 years in the ministry, and after 10 years in the ministry, he finally got to first base doing what God had called him to do. That was when he left the church and began ministering on the road as an itinerant minister. Why don't you think about that? He was 10 years in the ministry. And he made this comment that some ministers never find God's first priority for them in ministry. Because they're traditionally taught instead of listening to the voice of the Lord. Amen. And so it's vitally important, if that's true of the ministry, you can bet it's true for anything outside of the ministry. It's vitally important for you to listen to the closely to the voice of the Lord your God so that you can fulfill his plan. Let me get this. Thank you, Lord. And there's only one way to run your race successfully, and that's hearing the voice of the Lord. And so every one of us, someone say everyone. That includes Kaylin. That includes Braden. That includes Samantha Jane. That includes Pastor Ken. Every one of us are going to have to learn how to listen to our heart. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly. Many times, however, we seek guidance by every other means than God's way. Amen. And when we do that, we get in trouble. Sometimes we judge how God's leading us by our physical senses, but nowhere in the Bible does it teach us that God is going to lead us through the physical. No time. Yeah. Too often, and for most of us, we look to the mental realm. Our collegiate kids are being taught that the mental is, if we can just get the mental, if we can just get the intellect, if we can just spur the intellect, we can bring a whole new utopia to this land. No! What have we found? We found, with this new high-tech age, we found whole new ways of thievery. Yeah. Whole new ways of thievery. We've gotten people so intellectual that they're real smart than the average person in how to take advantage of them. And they do that. Knowledge is not going to be the utopia for us. Unless it's the knowledge of God. Yeah. So it's not the mental standpoint that the Bible says God's going to lead us through. The Bible doesn't say that the body of man is the candle of the Lord. It says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It's through our spirit that God's going to guide us. It's in our heart. Or, now see, when we're using that word, we're trying to convey a picture so everybody will understand that God leads us through the center of our very being. Someone said, I had a gut feeling I needed to do this. Well, that was the heart. That's what the Bible calls the heart, the center of our very being. Amen. And so before we can understand how God's going to lead us, we've got to understand our nature and how God made us. We have to understand that man is a spirit. He has a soul. He possesses his soul, or should. What does that mean? That means quit being led by your emotions. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotional makeup, that part of your personality that everyone sees, you know. When Rebecca gets up and starts talking, it's very evident her personality. I mean, it just flows out of there, you know. Daniel the same way, yeah. Elizabeth, her personality is quite different from her brother's. Amen. And that little ornery gleam she has when she's taking advantage of her brothers, it's a wonderful thing to behold. Now that is her personality, that is her soulish makeup. That's not her spirit. It's easier to see the soulish part of us than it is the spirit part of us. Yeah. But let's go back to the beginning. In the beginning of the book in Genesis 1, it says, God said, let us make man in our image. In our image. And he talked about male and female, created he them, you know. The male and female is not the part that we're like God. The spirit is the part that we're like God. The flesh is not the part of us that is like God. It's the spirit that's the part of us that gets its image comes from God. Amen. Amen. That which is seen is earthy. The scripture uses that term, earthy. Yeah. But God breathed the breath of life into Adam. And from that moment on, man was a spirit being who possessed a soul and lived in the body. Now, I got to tell you, this is not my sermon, but I got to tell you, you can't let your body rule you. You are not your body. Yeah. I want to say it again. You are not your body. You can't let your body rule you. The Apostle Paul said he buffeted his body. He disciplined his body. Why do we need to discipline our body? Because we don't want to eat what's good to eat. We want to eat what we want to eat. I'm speaking for the body, don't you know? Yeah. Yeah. And so we can't be led by the body. The body will eat us right out of this existence. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. The part of us that's made like God is our spirit. Now, here in Thessalonians chapter 5, it says these words. First, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, completely. God wants you sanctified, complete sanctification. Everyone say complete sanctification. Yeah. Sanctification is something that's set apart for God's use. All right. This glass has been set apart for pastor's use. Yeah. And so it sits up here and I use it from time to time. And it's a pretty little glass, you know. And the glass is kept clean and something's put in the glass for pastor, okay? Well, sanctification is the same kind of thing. You've been set apart for God's use, Samantha Jane, God's use. Yeah. I know you enjoy radio work, but somewhere in there, if that's your calling, you're going to use it for God. Yeah. She's on this earth for God's use. Pretty young lady, but she's not to be used in a natural way. She's to be used in a supernatural way. And because of that, the Holy Spirit is in her to lead her and guide her into what that way is. And she doesn't necessarily know what 5 years from now is going to look like, but the one on the inside of her does. And so he'll lead her. No, not this way, this way. And she's got to pay close attention because, you know, those teachers, they'll say, well, you need to do that. And that counselor will say, you need to do that. I know a lot of graduates from colleges that are not doing what they went to school for. And they went to school. When they started off in school, the counselors led them this way because there was a need for that kind of task. And then you've got 30, 40,000 kids that are all led the same way, and someone ends up without a job. Isn't that something? It's because they're not an adequate counselor. But the Holy Ghost in you, he is an adequate counselor. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're talking about man as an eternal spirit. He possesses a soul. He lives in a body. And God speaks to your spirit. Amen. Now, here's one in Philippians chapter 1, and maybe we'll deal with this for a little bit. This will probably run me out of time. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. Chapter 1, verse 23, 24. I'm in a strait betwixt two. This is the Apostle Paul. Having desired to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So here's the Apostle Paul. He's talking about the man of the spirit, and he's talking about the man of the flesh here. When the physical body of man is dead and in the grave, the spirit of man lives on. That part of the man is what's eternal. Spirits can never die. Amen. And man is a spirit. So here's Paul speaking of physical death here. And Paul is saying, I'm going to live. Whether in the body or out of the body, I'm going to live. Makes no difference to me. Well, as a matter of fact, it does make difference to me. I'm speaking for Paul. It'd be better for me to go. It'd be better for you if I stay. Yeah. It'd be better for me if I could go. That would be wonderful to go. Amen. Far better is his words. Far better. Far better. Amen. Which is far better to be with, to, if I left here and went with Christ, it would be far better. Amen. Why would it be far better? Why would it be far better? Because that's where heaven's at. That's where the fullness of joy is at. That's where the fullness of peace is at. The fullness of love is at. That's where it's all at. That's where we're going, you know. Yeah. But he said, for you, it's better if I abide here in my body. That's what he's saying here. It all has to do, if he abides or lives in the flesh, he can teach the church at Philippi. He can be a blessing to the church at Philippi. He can show forth the good works that God called him to. Amen. Now, I'm getting somewhere that I didn't necessarily want to get, but let's get there. Ephesians 2 and 8 tells us that for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created into Christ unto good works. Do you know the only reason why you're on this earth? Is that God created you for good works here. You have a job to do. I hear that every once in a while at the nursing home. I don't know why I'm still here. Well, I do. You've been created for good works here. Yeah, you're going to go and be with Christ. It's far better. I understand that. The older I get, the more I understand that. But as long as I'm here, I can demonstrate the good works of God through this body. Amen. And that's sanctification, by the way. So Paul is conflicted, you know. And notice how he talks here. He said, who's going to depart? Well, he said, I will depart. I will depart. But it wasn't his body that's going to depart. His body's just going to go in the ground. His body's still going to stay on the earth. Amen. It's not his natural man that's going to depart. It's his spirit that's going to depart. Amen. And his spirit possesses a soul. Going to take his soul right up there. Amen. Amen. So Paul's talking about the inward man, and Paul is talking about the outward man. And Paul is saying, I'm going to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Now, if he said it was better, that would have been good. But the fact that he said far better tells us just how wonderful it must be. Now remember, this was the man who was taken up in heaven and saw some wonderful things that he couldn't even articulate. Amen. Amen. And I don't know if you noticed, but Paul preached these same things over and over again in all the churches. Of course, sometimes he used different words. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he used these words. For which, which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Outward man, inward man. There's an inward man and there's an outward man. The outward man is not the real you. It's the inward man. It's the spirit that God breathed into Adam. Amen. That spirit that's been given to every new generation on this earth. That's the part of us. That's the part of us that's the eternal part. Amen. It's the real you. Now, what is our spirit? Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Let's look again. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. What is our spirit? Now, keep in mind this beginning text. Our beginning text was Romans 8 and 14 and Proverbs 20 and 27. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then the 16th verse gives us a little insight as to how the Holy Spirit will lead us. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What is that like, Pastor Ken? Bearing witness. Well, the only thing that I can tell you, have you ever been in a meeting and all of a sudden someone says something that's so impacting on the inside of you, and it's like this big, huge, amen! I mean, it's in there. You just get so excited. You ever had one of those? That was the Spirit of God bearing witness to you. Yeah. At other times, it may be quieter, but for me, my goodness, I tell you, it's almost like on the inside of me, something's wanting to jump out. Amen. Praise the Lord. And at times, I get real excited, and I'll stand up, and I'll shout, and I'll give God glory, you know. That's the Spirit bearing witness. At other times, it's real quiet. I'd be looking up at the stars with my buddy, listening to Bread. That was a group. Listening to Bread. Got my arm hanging out the window. Yeah. And it was just a still small voice saying to me, I made that. It was just as impacting. It changed the whole course and direction of my life. It was the Spirit bearing witness with me. Amen. Proverbs 20 and 27 says, the spirit of man is the candle. Since according to the scriptures, this God of ours is going to guide us through our spirit, we got to find out and we got to develop ourselves spiritually. We got to develop ourselves spiritually. I read a scripture in Matthew chapter, I believe it was 13, 14, that talks about healing. I shared it on Wednesday night for healing. And part of the verse says, for this people, eyes are dull. Dull. He's not talking about natural eyes there. He's talking about spiritual eyes. We can be so dull that we can be in the middle of hearing the preaching of the word and not hear God. Gary was talking about, he was standing here just a few minutes ago talking about at times when he's not as perceptive as usual, you know, and things are winding down and things, we call that backslid, by the way. But the real word is that we have allowed the world, the flesh and the devil to influence us to a place where spiritually we are very, very dull. And can't even hear what the Spirit of the Lord's having to say. Sin will do that in our life. Sin will do that in our life. Bring us to a place where we can't even hear the voice of the Lord like we once did. It's called deceitfulness of sin. Find ourselves justifying ourselves rather than repenting. And it's proof of how dull we've become. Because instead of running to God when we're in sin, We just think, oh, everybody's doing it, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Not even hearing what God's having to say about it. Amen. Amen. Everybody say dull. Now here's a good picture of dullness. Here's Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 3. He's speaking to a man by the name of Nicodemus, who was a leader of his people. And Jesus is surprised that this leader could not understand the scripture. Why couldn't he understand the scripture? Because he was dull. He was dull. Spiritually speaking, his spiritual sense had been dulled. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. Nicodemus, being only natural, could only think naturally. Here's a man of God who could only think naturally. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? This is the man of intellect. This is the man of religion. And he couldn't understand the basic precepts of the kingdom of God. I want you to understand, folks, you can understand the Greek, you can understand the Hebrew, and still miss what God is saying to you. Because these things are spiritually discerned. Amen. Spiritually discerned. Jesus wasn't talking about physical. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. He's talking about spiritual. He's talking about a spiritual reawakening and new birth. Praise the Lord. And see, now our purpose for using this is just to remind you, we must develop ourselves spiritually. To some people, church is just play day. They go to children's church. They might hear a scripture or two, but you hear what they're talking about. They're talking about the latest games. They're talking about the latest music. Hello, anyone out there? And we have hundreds of people in church, but how many of them are so dull that they can't hear the voice of the Lord speaking? Yeah. I don't want that to happen to me. Now, again, the part of man that is born again, the part of man that's eternal is his spirit. Amen. In our spirit, the moment we ask Jesus to be the Lord of our life, our spirit was made a new creature. Our spirit was given the life of God, the nature of God. Amen. Our spirit is in the image of Jesus himself. Amen. As close to Jesus as he can make us. Praise the Lord. Now, words paint pictures. Here's the problem of communicating. I can use a word, and the word means something different to me than it does Greg. And when that's there, we can find ourselves arguing over the same thing. And the issue is, we're not communicating, the definitions aren't the same, so we're not one-on-one able to communicate. I find that happens with Elaine and I many times. We're just not communicating. And it's work to communicate, don't you know? If the party that you're speaking to doesn't understand your words, their pictures are going to be different. And true communication will not be gained. And this issue of heart is a good example of that. Because to some people, the heart is just the physical blood pump. Physical blood pump. Brother Hagin would talk about the heart sometimes to some people means physical blood pump, or it means like the center of a subject. For example, the heart of a tree, the center of the tree. All right? And even outside the church, people usually, when they hear the word heart, they're not necessarily referring to the physical blood pump that we call heart. We just heard songs like Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad. Now, I'm not going to do the rest of it, but let me do the chorus. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Now, how many of you know I'm not talking about the little tip of the blood pump that's... What am I talking about when I say from the bottom of my heart? What is What does that actually mean? What is the picture that that word is supposed to be painting? Someone tell me. Say it. From your very being. That's exactly right. From your very being, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. From my very being, I love you. I care for you. I honor you. Or when you hear the word, that person has a big heart. My little brother, I used to say that about my little brother. He'd give his shirt off his back. That is the way he is. Yeah. He's got a big heart. Now, the natural big heart's not a good thing to have. Did you know that? I can't remember what it's called, but enlarge, thank you, enlarge. Yeah. But what does this word big heart or being big hearted, what does it really mean? What does it really mean? Yeah. Very generous. Yeah, very generous. And so we're not talking, when we're reading this word, we're not talking about the physical organ called the heart. We're talking about, the Bible teaches that man possesses a spiritual heart, or the center of our very being. I think that is a really good understanding of what the Bible's talking about. Actually, when we're looking at this word heart in the scripture, 830 references to a man's heart, and very few of them refer to the blood pump that pumps our blood around. Most of the scripture references to the word heart refer to the center of a man's being. Now, in the Old Testament, we'll look at a couple of them in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. In the Old Testament, the word heart refers to that intangible center of man's being. Intangible means it's not made of a physical substance. Yeah. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 16, then some of the sons of Benjamin, I'm reading from verse 16, the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold. And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if you have come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. Now, David here wasn't talking about uniting his physical heart. But what he was talking about was this desire to be unified with a person. Yeah. If you come in peace, we can walk in unity. Amen. Amen. Now, a literal interpretation of these references would be stupid and ridiculous. And yet, if you follow some people's teaching about the heart to its conclusion, it's just as ridiculous. Some people don't recognize the existence of man's spiritual heart. They try to explain the nature of man as only on physical terms. The nature, the essence of man, though, is spiritual, not physical. And like I've always been taught it, and I taught you, man is a spirit. He possesses his soul, and he lives in the body. Amen. Amen. Now, in the New Testament, look at some verses in the New Testament. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, here's a good one. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. In your heart. Romans chapter 10, very familiar passage of Scripture in verse 8. The message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and in your heart. That message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. So we see, just as in the Old Testament, these verses are talking about something other than a physical pump, physical organ that works on the inside of our chest. These verses are referring to believing with the center of our being. Amen. Paul said, inward man. He used the term inward man. Peter calls it the hidden man, excuse me, of the heart. That which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Again, we're talking about a word picture. The Old Testament, speaking about Jacob wrestling with the angel to be blessed, and because of pride, he's fighting God. Like us, because of pride, we fight God. And the truth is that God wants us to have three things. He wants us to have an eternal yea and amen every time we hear the word of God. And related to that thought, a heart that's quick to repent. A heart that's quick to repent. And then number three, quick to obey. A heart that's quick to repent and quick to obey. This would be a good time to ask you, when you find yourself that you really are wrong, do you have to sit and stew and grab your ear and finally get yourself back to God? Or are you quick to say, oh God, I'm wrong, forgive me? So we're talking about a heart that is yea and amen every time we hear the word, quick to repent, and a heart that delights to obey. Amen. And when you see those things, you'll find what Peter was trying to tell us when he said, turn with me there. Let's read it. Turn with me there in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let it be the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart. You know, the truth is, now I'm wearing this suit, you know. But this suit is not what makes me. This suit is not what makes me a preacher. I could be in my jeans and still be preaching to you. Amen? Yeah. The reason I wear this is to honor God. I'm attempting to be my best, to look my best. But the truth is, there's nothing on the outside that can change me. I don't have to have blue hair to feel good about myself. I don't have to have an Armani suit to feel good about myself. I don't have to have a Porsche to feel good about myself. Amen. Amen. I don't have to have designer jeans to feel good about myself. All I have to have to be at my best is this heart. Notice what he says. It's not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. God won't pay a dime for a Porsche. God's not impressed by your lovely, colorful hairdo. Hello? God's not impressed by a woman putting on all the stuff. All the stuff. Incidentally, I told Elaine years ago, I said, honey, you don't have to wear that stuff for me. I think you're beautiful just the way you are. You know what impresses God? The right kind of heart. Amen. The right kind of heart. And when we're talking about these, let me say it again. Three things. An eternal yea and amen. Every time we hear the word of God, you ought to be concerned if you don't have that. Amen. And related to that, is quick to repent. How quick are you to repent? Yeah. How quick are you to repent? And probably related to it, Oh my gosh, do I want to do that? Wow. I'm just hearing it in me. Whew. Do you argue with people when they're trying to speak truth to you? Or are you people that hear it and are quick to repent in it? Does it have to be, I can remember hearing myself, and see, I'm talking about myself here. Does Elaine always have to be right, God? You know what was speaking right there? Pride. Yeah. I've noticed at times that pastor can say things, I'm talking to the kids particularly, pastor can say, you receive it from me, but you get irritated at mom and dad when they do it, when they say it. I'm talking about this is what God honors. This is what God cherishes. Amen. A heart that's quick to repent and delights to obey. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. How am I doing? I'm going to have to get to a stopping point. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll carry this on next week. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4. We're talking about the heart of man. That's where God leads us. That's where God leads us. Not our intellect. Not our intellect. I don't know if you realize it. I'll say it this way. I've been to too many hospital beds where doctors have said, we don't know what to do. Here we are, we're paying these guys big money to know what they're doing. But they don't know what they're doing a lot of times. They have certain procedures, but after they run out of those procedures, you know what I'm saying? And we have almost deified intellect. And we have the same problems that we had 2,000 years ago. Intellect hasn't changed a thing. Intellect hasn't changed a thing. Amen. What's going to change is listening to our spirit and the voice of the Holy Spirit in our spirit. Amen. Here's Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Remember, you are a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in a body. I'm going to say it again. You are a spirit. See, Steve is not the body we see him in. One day, Steve's going to leave that body. Amen. Yeah. We see him in heaven, he's going to look different. But it'll still be Steve. Amen. He'll still have the same memories. Amen. It'll still be the same personality. Yeah. But man, he'll be different. Will we know Steve when we get up here? Do you know Steve now? Sure. Sure you're going to know Steve. Actually, our knower will be in better shape. We're going to know a lot more than we know. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I get up there, you know, my hair will be white. My face will be tanned gold. But it'll still be me. Amen. Oh, Pastor, will we know you? Of course you'll know me. Do you know me now? Daniel, do you know me? Then you'll know me then. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. You live in this body. Now, I want to say this to you. Take care of your body. It's the only body you have. Do you know what? You're not going to be able to do any more good works on this earth if you don't take care of your body. Yeah. And take care of your mind. Work it. Exercise it. I'm a big reader. I encourage you. I know some of you aren't as much given to reading as I am, maybe. But read anyway. And be careful of the kind of things that you read. I don't read for entertainment. I don't read for entertainment. And maybe we need to think of it in this way. The things that we feed on in our reading, make sure they're bringing you life. Amen. Yeah, make sure they're bringing you life. There is a truth about garbage in, garbage out. Yeah. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, he speaks good things. Well, where did he get the good things? He brought it in from the Word. Yeah, he brought it in from the Word. Yeah. Where did he get the good things? An evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart. Where did he get the evil treasures? World, the flesh, the devil. So be real discerning in your reading, you know. I always enjoyed Lester Sumrall. Some people got offended at Lester Sumrall because Lester was so strong, all right, to the point that at sometimes people thought he was a little bit harsh. But if you would have known him, the most gentle man, but in his preaching, he was strong, and I like that. And he always would make this kind of reference. He said, I don't read books that aren't true. He said, I read biographies. But he said, if I read what someone calls a biography and I find out at the end of the book that it was not a biography, he said, I've been known to throw that book out into a field because it's not true. Yeah. And then he started talking about the fact that a lot of books in the world, a lot of books aren't there to help you in your thinking and to strengthen you. Amen. Yeah. So at any rate, have the sense enough to feed yourself good reading material. Amen. And don't be foolish enough to think, well, that won't hurt me. Don't be foolish like that. Amen. Say it out loud. I am a spirit. I possess my soul. Mind, will, and intellect. I possess my mind. I possess my will. I possess my intellect. Yeah, yeah. And I live in this body. I'm going to take care of my body. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. We'll stop there. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that as we yield ourselves to the Spirit and to the things of the Spirit, Lord God, that your leadership in our life brings us to a place of success in every area of our life. Thank you. Forgive us, Lord, in these days where we find ourselves sluggish, and in these days where we find ourselves, dull to the things of the Spirit. What a day we're living in, Lord. And if there's ever a time where we need to be sharp when it comes to spiritually, this is the time. Help us, Holy Spirit, in these things. And help us feed ourselves on things that will get us ready for our end time stance. Thank you for the life of the Word. Thank you for the voice of the Holy Spirit. And thank you for giving us a hearing ear that hears, that hears clearly what the Lord has to say to us. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Praise the Lord.